Welcome everybody, this is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices weekly webcast, and this week we're going to talk about something really, really cool we've been working for quite a long time, or it's been in our plans for quite a long time, called BMP Partner Pack. My name is Esa Juvonen, I'm a Senior Program Manager in Office 365 Engineering, and with me here is Paolo Pialorsi. Paolo, will you do introductions?
Yes, welcome everybody. I'm Paolo. I'm a senior consultant working in a company called PSC.com, and I'm a developer focused on Office 365 and SharePoint stuff.
Thank you, Paolo. Paolo is one of the BNP core team members, and he's also an MVP, by the way. He's just pretty shy or humble, so he doesn't actually use this certification stamps, right, Paolo?
Yeah, thank you.
Good. So anyway, today's topic is the BMP Partner Pack, and what is actually BMP Partner Pack? So with BMP Partner Pack, we really wanted to create a more packaged setup or more packaged solution around the patterns and practices guidance. Because let's face it, a lot of the BMP stuff, what we have in the GitHub, well, it's a common statement by some persons, they're referring BNP as a bunch of samples. And that's not necessarily that wrong way of putting that, because that was the original idea also in the Office 365 Patterns and Practices, to provide starting points to individual solutions. But with the BNP Partner Pack, what we wanted to do is take these samples and package them up in a more reusable way, so that anybody, is it a customer, partner, or a developer, or a student, can just download the package down, follow the instructions, and then set up things up and running within any Office 365 tenant within Azure subscription. So this is really a kind of a reference solution, and the thinking point here is that anybody, any partner, any customer can think through the BMP Partner Pack as a starting point, maybe for their production usage. So it's still a sample, it's a reference sample solution, but you can download that down, start expanding that, or build your own business requirements on top of it. And the whole point is that we're kind of addressing the most common customizations, which would be absolutely the site provisioning. And in the site provisioning, we'll absolutely use the BMP site provisioning engine, where Paolo has been one of the key drivers as well. And then also, the whole point is that this is an open source. Right now we're releasing the version 1.0, which is fully functional for the capabilities which we're going to quite soon introduce. And you're going to see that one in practice, demonstrated by Paolo. But we want to evolve this one as well. So this is kind of a slightly isolated sample, isolated package in its own repository, but which we want to evolve over the time, based on the contributions from a community and also from Microsoft, as a reference solution for this common setups. Anything you want to add there, actually, Paolo, at this point?
Yeah, it's okay. And I want to also stress the idea that the BNP Partner Pack leverages the NuGet packages of the BNP core library in order to use a stable version of the engine and to show the power of what we release for production environments as well.
True, that's actually a good point. That's a good point. And also, that's actually reminded me, internally in Microsoft, we will actually use the BMP Partner Pack as one of our automated testing tooling. So whenever we are releasing new capabilities within Office 365, we will have this daily builds running and automated scripts running towards the BMP Partner Pack, making sure that will work properly with the new versions which are coming up. And that's something which we work together with the SharePoint Online Engineering as we speak. Now, what's really interesting is that obviously for you who are listening this, is that what do we have in the BMP Partner Pack? What is it and how can you utilize that? And we really wanted to address that common set of capabilities. The most common requirement for everybody in Office 365 or in general in SharePoint is to create sites. And typically, if it's a mid-size or larger company, or even a smaller company, you want to create sites using a standardized template. So the BMP Partner Pack is providing standardized UIs to create site collections and subsites, which are then provisioning new site collections or subsites using the BMP, the Patterns and Practices provisioning engine. What's really, really cool about this implementation is also that we wanted to show you how you can implement the save site as a template, not using the standard out-of-the-box capability, using a sandbox solution-based model. Because let's face it, if you save site as a template using the out-of-the-box capabilities, it is actually a sandbox solution. But this the PMP partner pack actually saves these templates using the provisioning template, the PMP provisioning template. And you can use those templates afterwards as an end user. So from an end user perspective, the capability is exactly the same, but it doesn't have the downsides which the classic site template or web template capability has within the SharePoint. The second point, what we wanted to kind of show also, is the responsive design, a really big ask. Quite often people are asking, why don't we have a SharePoint? Why doesn't SharePoint actually have a responsive UI? Why isn't Seattle.master responsive? And maybe it should be, but it isn't. So what we wanted to do right now within the PNB is to provide you a mechanism or demonstration how you can transform the Seattle.master to be responsive without customizing the master page. Because immediately when you start customizing a master page, you will have to take into account the future maintenance requirements around the master page changes. So if we don't modify the master page, if we transform or embed using the JavaScript embedding patterns the needed customization to the out-of-the-box Seattle.master, you will get all the innovation what the Microsoft is introducing in the Seattle.master, but still you can actually add custom navigation bar or custom footer with the JavaScript embedding pattern.
And about this topic, Visa, what we did is to show how to leverage the user customization and the JavaScript injection so that, as you said, we do not need to customize the Seattle.master, but just using a bunch of JavaScript injection, we can do pretty everything that is needed to customize the UI, the behavior, to provide a navigation bar or a status bar without changing anything of the out-of-the-box environment so that the solution would be stable on the timeline.
Thanks, Paolo. And you actually said it in a slightly different way. So the reason why I was using JavaScript embedding is that, quite often when I present, we don't want to use JavaScript injection as the term. Even though you're absolutely correct, we're kind of injecting the JavaScript on the master page without modifying the master page using the user custom action. But it's a terminology thing. Somebody in the technical writers organizations, the MSDN organization, said that, well, you probably shouldn't be using JavaScript injection as the term, because injection always has a slightly different, let's say, tone. But it's not obviously it's not a security threat. That's not what we're talking in this case. And just to clarify that. And then the third topic kind of relates on the first topic of the slide, which is reference governance jobs. And these are kind of a timer jobs, typically in a server-side implementation in on-premises, you would have implemented these as timer jobs. But now in the Office 365, we're implementing remote timer jobs, and typically they are implemented using Microsoft Azure web jobs. And what these are then doing is that they're checking, for example, if there's two site collection administrators in every single site, and if there isn't, there's an email sent and some sort of other automation which you want to maybe automate from a governance perspective. Good. Probably everybody who's watching this wants to see, okay, so what is it all about? So what we wanted to do before the demo in the slides, there's some pictures about the implementation as well. So the PMP partner pack has been actually implemented as a provider-hosted app or add-in, but not as using the ACS. So this is actually provider-hosted add-in, which can be said that it's Office 365 app, because it's actually configured and released using the Azure AD app UIs, and you get it also visible in the app launcher. I'm probably using wrong terminology here. Paolo, can you help me?
Yes, what we did is to make the implementation available as an Office 365 add-in or app through Azure ID applications configuration. And this allows us to have it available in the app launcher in Office 365 wherever you are. So not only in SharePoint, but wherever you are in the Office 365 ecosystem. And moreover, using this way of working, we can also leverage, or we will be able in the near future to leverage the entire set of Office 365 unified APIs in order to not only interact with SharePoint Online, but also with the other services in the ecosystem. So let's say that you want to send an email when a site collection is created using the account of the user who created the site or something like that. You will be able to do that simply leveraging the entire Office 365 ecosystem. And moreover, creating an Office 365 application, we are also able to target all the site collection and all the sites in our tenant without any need to do a local deployment in any SharePoint site collection for our app, because it is simply deployed at the tenant level in Office 365 as an Azure ID application.
That's a really good point. And then obviously this will be, the app will be visible in the My Apps whenever it has been configured using the guidance what we provide in the Azure, within the Azure AD. If you go to the My Apps, you're able to get that Office Dev PMP Partner Pack app available. Right now, currently, this is an end-user driven operation, but sooner or later, we in Microsoft are already implementing the capability that administrators can push custom applications to all of the people in the company or enterprise. So that way you can actually make sure that your provisioning engine or provisioning app, you probably want to rename that, you probably won't be using the PMP Partner Pack for that case, will be then visible for all of your end users whenever they open up the Office 365 app launcher. And then there's two screenshots. The one is for creating site collections, and as you can see, there are five different templates for create site collection templates, and all of these are variations out of the box sites, but they do have then additional settings like the branding or configurations or list and libraries, or you can apply the responsive UI on top of these sites as well. And then there's another picture is about the subsite creation, and those templates can be absolutely different than the create the site collection templates, like they typically are in the enterprise deployments.
Yes, and another capability that we made available through the PNP Partner Pack is the capability to save templates at the global tenant level. So if you want to have a set of site templates or sub-site templates available for the entire tenant, you can do that. But you can also create local templates so that if you want to have at the site collection level a subset of local templates that you want to use to create sub-site, you can do that. So let's say you want to have a site collection with the customer's site, you can save a template and reuse it to create as many customer-related sites as you want, all based on the same template, which will be only local to that site collection and not available at the entire tenant level. Just to make it more clear how you can handle your templates in your own environment.
And that's really about the thinking of if you think about the classic farm solutions, you could actually save site as a template in an individual site collection, and that template would have been available in that site collection. Then if you would like to have that template cross multiple site collections, you would have to copy that one by one. Or in on-premises, you could also deploy web templates or site definitions then in the kind of a web application or farm level. And that's what Paolo just explained, is kind of addressing this, the thinking. You can save template either locally or in centrally, so it will be available across all of the site collections based on your selection. And we're going to have a look on that one during the demo setup. Then on the following slide, what we wanted to do is quickly show some pictures around the responsive UI. So the responsive UI, it's not really flashy, it's not really uber wow, it's a branded UI. It's more around transforming any site which is using the Seattle.master as a responsive UI using the JavaScript embedding or injection, whatever the terminology we want to use, method. So without modifying the Seattle.master and using the user custom action capability. Obviously, this functionality also requires a quite heavy permissions, which means that the whole PMP partner bank is actually requiring quite hectic permissions within your tenant. But it's for the sake that it's to be able to create site collections, you need to have a farm really high, sorry, tenant permissions, and to be able to modify or embed a JavaScript to your sites, you would have to have a site ownership permissions as well. The UI is also showing those individual capabilities. So there's the responsiveness. So if you scroll down or scale down the screen, it will actually, the UI will automatically start fixing itself based on the width of the screen. And the one other really cool topic and really cool functionality is that custom toolbar. And there's a nice JavaScript APIs for actually doing that and adding entries on the custom toolbar as well. And that really comes down on the model where quite often we hear our customers saying that, yeah, but I need to actually have custom links in my JavaScript, in my SharePoint sites. And I would like to get them visible in that suite navigation or the top navigation bar wherever the Office 365 apps are as well, or the app launcher is located as well. But you can't actually, and you should not, push your links over there, because that is evolving all the time. So your JavaScript would actually get broken quite often, and that would cause an end user, let's say, confusion. The other side of thinking is that whenever you move from a SharePoint to Yammer to Delve or whatever, your links would be there and they wouldn't be there and they would be there and they wouldn't be there. So the right way of thinking this is that, okay, fine, let's actually embed a second level navigation only in SharePoint sites. And that's where you can then have, for example, a cross-site collection navigation in the header section. And this, the header footer implementation is just a reference story around that within a SharePoint site.
Yes, and if I can, I would like to stress the information that we also decided to use the new Office UI Fabric icons and stuff to make it more close to the UI, the out-of-the-box UI of Office 365. So in the navigation bar, you can put any button, which can be a text or an icon-based button. And from a responsive design perspective, we do support three sizes, the desktop one, the tablet one, and the smartphone one, using CSS overrides and JavaScript embedding, as you said.
Excellent. So let's have a look on this one in practice. So I'll let actually Paolo do the demonstration for this one, and I'm going to then ask those stupid questions, because there's always, at least I have, a lot of questions about what I'm seeing. So Paolo is going to walk through the functionalities, and I'm going to then try to interrupt him and put him off the zone with my questions.
Okay. So let's see what is the PNP partner pack from a practical perspective. And let me start from a well-known and common SharePoint site, which is based on the Team Site template. And let's say that I want to create a custom subweb of this site, or let's say that I want to save this site as a template. We can easily do that leveraging the PNP provisioning engine and the PNP provisioning template, so that we will be able to store with a new way of working our site templates and reuse them to create a new site. So, for example, let's say that I want to create in my site contents a new list or library or whatever you like. Let's say I want to create a new document library and I want to call it PNP Partner Pack Demo Library. It's a long name, but I don't pay the characters, so. And this is my new library in my site. If I want to create multiple sites with the same library in it, with the same, for example, composed look or layout or whatever else it is right now available in the PNP provisioning engine, I can simply go to the site settings of this site, and I can play with this new save site as provisioning template command, which is available if you have the PNP partner pack configured for the current site collection. And by clicking on this button, I will have a new nice UI which keeps the outline and the layout of the Office 365 offering, but it's a provider-hosted app that we made in ASP.NET as an MVC app, and in which I can save the information related to my template, as well as, of course, the site template by itself. So let's call it PNP demo template, for example. This will be the title. I will provide a description, which will be my description. And I can provide a name for the XML file that will be stored on my repository, which will be a global or a local repository, as you will see pretty shortly. I will call it pnpdemo01.xml file. I can select what I want to do, what I want to store in my template. So, for example, I want to include taxonomies, I want to include search configuration, site groups, and even the persistent compose look files if I want. I can target the template for global or local repository. The local repository will use the local site collection. The global one will use an infrastructure site collection, which will have to be provisioned while setting up the partner pack environment. I can also provide a PNG file or a JPG file to provide the preview of my site, so that when I will create a new site based on this template, I will have a nice UI preview. Let me select one image from here, for example, this one or this one. And I can simply save my site as a provisioning template. The result will be a job, an asynchronous job, that will be executed by a web job on Azure, which will extract the provisioning template and store it as an XML file in a library inside my infrastructure site collection. After that, I can simply go back to my site, and I can also try to create a new site based on a template. Oh, sorry for that.
No worries.
Okay, let me go here. So, for example, this site. And I can go to the site content and create a new sub-site, which will be based again on the PNP partner pack stuff, so that when I create a new sub-site, I will be able to select the template based on the preview image that I have saved just before. Let's say, for example, that I want to use this green sub-site template, and by clicking on the next button, I will have to provide the basic information about the site that I want to create, including the title, the URL, the relative URL of my site. So let's say this will be the sub web number 10, for example. I will provide a relative URL like this. I can define the site policy for my site and the description if I want. And I can select the target language, which can be English, for example, my time zone, which will be the one in Italy, and I can...
Should be, one of the questions, obviously, on the language, should be set the language based on the host web, just out of curiosity. That would be a great thing to evolve on the PNP partner bank, right?
Yes, it can be. You can select your language without any need to be related to the main language of the site collection.
No,
so you can do that.
Well, what I'm saying is that the default setting for language was Arabic, so it's in alphabetical.
Okay.
Just thinking out loud, that maybe one suggestion for the community to contribute back is to change this UI to have the default language based on the host web.
Sure. Good
where
point.
Where you started creating the subsite.
Good point. Of course, you can inherit or cannot inherit permission from the parent set collection. And just after that, if your provisioning template will also have a set of custom parameters, because from a provisioning template perspective, we do support parameters, you will be able also to provide values for those parameters so that you can have a parametric provisioning of your site if you want. Yeah, I don't have parameters, so I can simply click the create button. Just after that, there will be another job that will be scheduled in a queue. And using a very smart way of working, which leverages a queue on the blob storage on Azure, we will have a near-to-real-time creation of our sub-web, so that the job will be pretty soon executed and will create the sub-web in our site collection. So if I go back to my site, you pretty soon we will have the website, the subweb number 10, available in the list of the sites, the subsites of my set collection, and in a few minutes the provisioning template will be provisioned and the site will be green with some custom content in it. And as you can see, right now we have the subweb number 10 modified 1 minute ago. The job is still running, and if you want to see what is happening under the cover, we have a library of provisioning jobs in which we will have a job that is running, which is the job we have just created, and which will be executed, and it is executed right now by a web job on Azure.
So Paolo, so this one here is the infrastructural site collection, right? You jumped from a different site collection where we then store all of this running fellows.
Exactly. And here you have the list of all the queued jobs that can be executed by the web jobs only. Sure. So that the engine is asynchronous from an execution perspective. You don't need to wait in real time what is happening under the cover, but there will be a background set of jobs that will do the dirty jobs for you. Okay. So if we go back to our site, we will have the subweb number 10 almost created in our list of subsites. Maybe it is already complete or maybe not. It's a matter of time. Here we already have some libraries created, libraries and lists created based on the template that I used in my subweb, but it is not yet a green site because the composed look is still under provisioning, but it will be pretty soon. I don't want to waste my time and your time waiting for a website to become green, and I rather prefer to show you how can you enable these kind of capabilities like save site as provisioning template or a new subweb with a new UI.
Before we go there, can you quickly explain, go back on the previous site and create a subsite functionality. So before we started, we created that subsite and we saved that site as a template, but that was not visible in the new subsite. So you didn't actually select that site as the template, right? You selected that green site. I'm just reiterating what happened. So when would this save site as a template be visible in the new subsite creation?
It will be available pretty soon, in a matter of minutes, as soon as the job will be executed and the template will be extracted. Because, you know, the extracting a provisioning template from a site takes 1, 2, or more minutes, depending on the size and the complexity of the template that we are extracting. So, in order to not wait for a long time here for the template availability, I simply decided to use another template already available in my list.
Okay. Makes sense. Just reiterating what happened. So. Good. Thanks.
Sure. And of course, as we said during the presentation, when I click on the new subsite link, as you can see in the status bar, I have a link which is different from the out-of-the-box link because we did JavaScript embedding to replace the out-of-the-box link with a new one which will target our PNP provisioning engine. Of course, if you want to use the PNP partner pack by itself, as we saw previously, you also have it available in the app launcher. So if I click on the waffle of the app launcher, I have the Office Dev PNP partner pack button available, and by clicking on this button I will get the UI of the PNP partner pack, which will allow me to create also a site collection if I want, and not only a subweb. By clicking on the create site collection button, I have again the capability to first of all select a template, and we decided to differentiate the templates for a subweb from the template for a site collection. So here you have a different set of templates available, and when you save a site as template, the engine is able to make a difference between a site collection template and a subweb template. Let's say that I want to select this one. I click on next, as like as before. I have to provide another set of information related to a new site collection, which is much more than before, because a site collection requires much more information to be created. I can create a sample site collection. This will be the title. This will be the URL in my site or Teams managed path. Again, I have the site policy, the description, again, the language as like as before.
Okay, Paolo, on that one, what is the site policy? Because that's not an out-of-the-box selection.
Let's say that if you want to use it to define the sensitivity of your content, so the level of privacy of your content, you can use this information to target what is the goal for your site collection when you are creating it. So it could be a low business impact, a medium or a high business impact policy that you want to imply when creating and managing the contents of this site collection.
And obviously that could drive then, for example, there could be a security setting behind of it, and then that could drive, is that site collection allowed to be shared with external users or not, and so on. So it's just a typical ask what the enterprises are asking. Absolutely makes sense.
Exactly. And moreover, when you create the site collection, because we have also a web job which guarantees that you have at least two site collection administrators for your site collection, we require you to provide at least two site collection administrators. So one can be myself using the PNP people picker that we make available as a sample in our PNP repository. And you can also select another one, which will be myself with my other identity. I have multiple identities, as many of the IT guys in the world. I can select the storage maximum level and warning, and even the user code maximum level and warning. And we can also define if we want to enable external sharing or not for this set collection, as well as if we want to enable partner pack extensions by default on the target site collection that will be created. And we can also define if we want to make the site collection responsive or not. So by filling out this form, at the very end, you will have a site collection ready to go and already extended with all the capabilities that PNP Partner Pack provides.
And obviously, before you click that one, actually,
sure.
If there's a customer or partners there who would like to offer a standardized set of templates, and they would obviously they can modify this UI by removing the external sharing option and enable Partner Pack extensions and always apply them. We just wanted to have a UI where you can optionally select additional settings, but this is open source. You can pull it down, you can configure and modify the code any way you want when you set it up in your own deployment.
Absolutely. It's just an MVC ASP.NET application, and you can do whatever you want as long as you play with MVC.
Yep.
So if I click on next, this template has a set of custom parameters, just for the sake of making an example. So I can provide a value for these parameters, for example. And as you can see, those values will be provided while provisioning our provisioning template onto the target site. So param value, just to make an example, and Yammer network, just to make another example. I can click on the create button, and one more time there will be a scheduled job that will be executed pretty soon by the background web job running on Azure. And just after that, I will be able to see under the My Site Collections capability that my site is under creation. As you can see, I have my sample site collection 01, which is pending creation, because the job will sooner or later process it and create the site collection.
So which of the site collections are visible in here? So what means that it's my site collection? Is it that you are a site collection administrator or the secondary administrator, or how does it work?
It is related to the user who is consuming the UI right now. So are those site collections that the current user created using the PNP Partner Pack? So it's kind of a reminder of what are the site collections that I created by myself using this engine. Here is the list, and here is the status of the creation processes.
Makes sense. Thanks. And by the way, I have to say that the Office UI fabric that the UI is using, that it looks really clean and awesome.
Thank you. I'm happy to know. And if you are an administrator, you can also go to the settings section of PNP Partner Pack. And from there, you will be able to see all the site collections available in your tenant right now with a drop down, but we plan to replace it with a list which can be paged to handle a huge number of site collections. And from here, let's say that I want to target the site collection we were using before, the PNP target 10. If I select this one, as you can see, I have the URL to access the site collection, but I also have a button to disable or enable, if I go to a site collection in which the partner pack is not enabled, to enable the partner pack extensions. So when you create a site collection from scratch, as you saw a few minutes ago, you can enable the partner pack extensions by default. But if you have an already existing site collection, you can use this UI, and clicking on this button, you will be able to enable the partner pack extension. What are those extensions? Those that make available to you the create subweb overriding, as well as the save site as template capability. So it's really easy to plug the PNP partner pack onto or on top of any already existing site collection in your own environment.
Paolo, what about using PowerShell on that one? That would also in many scenarios make sense if there's only 20,000 site collections within a tenant.
Of course you can do that. And let me go to the Visual Studio solution just for a while. We made the capability to enable or disable the partner pack extensions and the responses design and all the other features that we provide, we made them available as a set of PNP provisioning templates. So if you go in the solution under the template folder of the web application, you will find there is an overrides folder in which I simply have a PNP partner pack overrides.xml provisioning template, which is the one that you can apply using PowerShell on thousands of already existing site collections if you want, and it is exactly the same template that we apply when you click on the button in the web UI. So pretty straightforward, I would say.
Makes sense. Yes, yep, absolutely.
And just because I'm on Visual Studio right now, let me very briefly, explain you how the solution is organized from an architectural perspective. I have a site provisioning, which is an MVC website, in which you will find the controller, which is a unique controller, and a bunch of models and views to provide all the capabilities that we saw in the demo we have just seen. But you also have an infrastructure project, which is a class library, in which you will find all the real working stuff. I mean, you will find the interface for the abstraction layer of the repository, which is implemented in a SharePoint provisioning repository, so that whatever you save, a provisioning template, a job, or whatever else, you will store using the out-of-the-box offering of the PNP Partner Pack, it will be stored in SharePoint. But if you want to do something else, if you want to use a SQL database on Azure, if you want to do anything else, you can do that simply by implementing this interface and by configuring in the config file of your website, the website that you will provision to use the PNP Partner Pack, you will simply have to configure in the config what is your concrete implementation of the repository interface. As well as from a job perspective, whenever you create a new site collection or you create a new subweb, it will be created a job, which will be a complex type from a .NET perspective, which will inherit from a base abstract class called provisioning job, and there will be a set of handlers, again with a basic abstract handler available and a set of custom and specific handlers, for example, an handler to create a site collection or an handler to get the provisioning template from a site and stuff like that, that you can use and that you can customize and you can plug so that if you want, you can simply play with the config file of your website, and in the config file, you will be able, from a developer perspective and from an IT perspective, to configure your own custom jobs and your own custom job handlers in order to extend the engine. In the backend, in the Azure web app that will execute this Azure website, there will also be a couple of web jobs, a continuous one and a scheduled one. The scheduled job will execute all the jobs based on a schedule, as the name implies. So you can configure with whatever timing you like the job, every 5 minutes, every hour, every 10 hours, it's up to you. It's just a matter of configuring the timing. The continuous job, on the contrary, uses a blob storage queue on Azure, and as soon as you will put the job in the queue, there will be an handler that will be raised, that will be executed in the job, and that will create near to real time the site or the task that you want to execute. Right now, we do the site creation, the sub-site creation, as a real time task, as well as the extraction of a provisioning template. So if you have a look at the configuration, you can see that the provisioning template job handler has the apply provisioning template as a continuous job, as well as the sub-site creation as a continuous job. That means it will be executed by this continuous job on Azure, while, for example, the get provisioning template or the site collection creation are scheduled, so they will be executed by the other scheduled job. Of course, we will have other webcasts covering more details about the architecture and the engine, so I don't want to stress you right now with too many details, but just want to give you kind of an idea of what is the outline of the project and what are the extensibility points for this solution. Now, Beza, if we have time enough, I would like also to show the responsive UI in action, just to make it more clear how it is and how it works.
Yep, thank you. Absolutely. Let's have a quick look on that one as well. There's so much to show, I do know, but
Exactly. Now, let's move to this site collection, which is still on the same tenant. And, well, this site collection has been extended using the responsive capabilities and the UI new features like the navigation bar, the custom navigation bar, and the custom status bar right here. First of all, I have to say that, as we already said during the presentation, all this stuff is made without changing the master page, the Seattle.master. But if I try to reduce the size of this browser screen, as you can see, now I have a responses UI available, and here I have the well-known button to click to show the bootstrap menu of my site. And if I simply enlarge the UI, as you can see now I have another kind of UI targeting tablets instead of smartphones. And moreover, from the navigation bar perspective, I have a set of links which are customizable, and I will show you pretty soon how you can do that using a JavaScript library that we made available. But I have a set of buttons that I can customize, and I also have, if I want, a notification area through which I can provide information, notifications to my end users, which will be notification related to my own company and not to the Office 365 environment, because, you know, we already have the notification area here in Office 365, but this one is related to our own company stuff, and we can use JavaScript code to add remove items from this area as well. How can we do that? Still in the templates area, we have a JavaScript file which at the very end shows you how to play with this environment. You simply have an SPO custom bar namespace, which provides you a bunch of methods to set up the notification area, to add some notification element, to add custom links to the navigation bar or to the footer area. So you will simply need to play with the library, with the JavaScript namespace that provide. You will have to select the icon from an Office UI perspective that you want to use in your buttons, and you will be done. You will be ready to play with these extensions which are available in the UI of your site collection.
Looks great. I think, yeah, and consistent.
Thank you. I think that's all from a demo perspective, because we don't have time to see everything in this webcast, but I hope this will give you an idea of the big picture of the PNP Partner Pack project.
Absolutely. Yeah, really good overview on things. And like Paolo said, we really don't have time in this webcast to go through all of the capabilities, but it's good to see all the goodies, and hopefully people got excited. So let's move back on the presentation side and continue there. Excellent, Paolo. Really great demo and walkthrough on the capabilities. And the key point, obviously, we do understand that this was a relatively quick walkthrough from a capability perspective and maybe some code perspective as well. But then we're looking into having a separate videos released in the PNP Channel 9 section, how to configure and how the PNP Partner Pack has been structured. So that you will learn by watching them. So, and there's already a great guidance on how to configure the PNP Partner Pack up and running within any tenant with the Azure subscription. Good. Let's actually sum up the webcast. So next steps, the PNP Partner Pack. So obviously, you can right now already download the PNP Partner Pack from AKMS Office Dev PNP Partner Pack. That's a AKMS address which will be pointing actually to the GitHub, the PNP Partner Pack GitHub. where you can then either download to GitHub repo as a zip, which is the which some people do, but we would recommend you to also learn slightly, start learning how to use the GitHub, because that's pretty much the future, also for Microsoft, a lot of the Microsoft development side, and it's not actually that difficult. So what you want to do is write a fork and then get the latest version there and start looking into what you actually have and how things are actually built. So download the BMP partner pack from that address, set up and configure your own tenant and national subscription based on the guidance what we have, study and evolve as needed and any way you like. This is all for you, open source, just have fun and build your own solution on top of it. It's given to you and we're not actually asking anything out of it. It's an open source, like mentioned. But obviously, it would be great if you find any bugs or you have feedback or you have ideas or comments that you would contribute back as well. And that's either by using the pull requests in the GitHub repository or then having opening up a discussion with the BMP core team in our BMP Yammer group or with the and obviously a discussion with the other people in the community. There's already more than 3,300 members in the BMP Yammer group, and it's the most active developer group in the Office 365 technical network. Anything what I'm missing, Paula, in my rankings?
I simply want to underline that, as you said earlier, the PNP Partner Pack is an open source project, but it has also an open architecture. So if you want to contribute also by providing custom implementations of, for example, job repositories or custom provisioning jobs that you want to provide to the community, feel free to do that. And as we saw in the demo, the architecture is open. You will simply need to inherit from an abstract class or implement an interface, and you will be ready to contribute and to provide your own samples of repositories and jobs and job handlers. So feel free and please do that, contribute with us and make the project richer and richer than it is now.
Really good add-on, Paolo, thanks. And that's really what we want to in general do with the BNB as well. We do absolutely understand that majority of the people who are using our guidance don't have time to contribute back, and that's fine as well. Then if you can find a few hours here and there, or if you build something cool around the guidance what we're providing, we would be absolutely grateful for your contributions, and then we'll give you the credits within our monthly releases as well. Good. I think that actually sums up the webcast. So thank you, Paolo, very much for your time. I think it was a great webcast to have a quick look on the BMP Partner Pack. There would be so much to show and so much to talk about around this one. But let's then talk about, and let's absolutely cover those in a separate videos and maybe do another the BMP webcast after a while, whenever the Partner Pack is evolving to another version.
So thank you, Vesa.
Thank you. Thank you, Paula, and thank you everybody who listened and watched the video. Thank you.